Can we just open our Bibles again to the book of Luke chapter 8? That was where we stopped last time. The book of Luke chapter 8. Now, we were reading about the parable of the sower. And, you know, Jesus was teaching that parable from the book of Luke chapter 8 from verse 5. He said, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And he said, some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." And let me just rush, because we already read most of this. And he said, "Some fell among the thorns, which when they sprang up, choked the seed, and the others fell on good ground. And this one sprang up," in verse 8, "yielded a crop, and a hundredfold for that matter." And when he had said these things, he cried, let him that have ears, let them hear." And then this is his interpretation of the things that he said. He said, "The seed is the word of God." That's the first thing. You know, we are talking about profiting by the word of God. So he said, number one, that seed is the word of God. That those by the wayside are the ones who hear. He said, then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, I already explained that if you read another account, he explained that those are the ones who heard but did not understand it. I always tell my students, you know, anytime you are talking as a lecturer, students are always trying to write what you are saying. And I tell them all the time that it's not necessary, that if you understand, you will remember. And that the people that forget are those who didn't understand. Do you understand my point? And you find out that if you have been to somebody's house before, all right, even if they were to shut down all the lights around, everywhere is dark, you will find your way there. You may not be able to describe it for somebody as accurately, but you will find your way there because indeed you understood what they were saying. I hope you are getting what I'm saying, all right? So that's what he was saying, that when somebody doesn't understand, the person quickly forgets. But we're not going over all this once again. We've already passed this stage. Where we spent a lot of time before was verse 13, where he said, "The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in the time of temptation, they fall away." I discussed that one extensively last time. If you're not around, I recommend you go and listen to the message that we preached that last time, all right? Now, so let's just continue. He said now, verse 14, "The ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out, and they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Now, continuation of this, the whole thing actually ended in verse 18. In verse 16, it said, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. But what he does is that he sets it on the lampstand, that those who enter may see the light." In verse 17, it says, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." Therefore, he warned in verse 18, "Take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Now, before I continue explaining what we have been saying here, quickly open your Bibles, put something there, all right? And open your Bibles to the book of Revelations. I want to read something from Revelations. It will help me finish what I began to discuss last time, and we'll get a lot of blessing from it. Now, this is the book of Revelation talking about the vision that John had of the Lord. And what I want to bring out here is a few verses. Revelation chapter 1. Now, it said in verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." And then he also said, "What you see, write in a book and send to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Now, what I wanted to note is verse 12 and the interpretation of verse 12. He said, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to the feet and gathered about the chest with a golden band. Please run down to verse 16. He had in his right hand seven stars. That's what I want to read there. He had in his right hand how many stars? Seven stars. So he was standing among seven lampstands, and he had in his right hand seven stars. So now in verse 20, he said, the mystery or the interpretation of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. Now this is the interpretation. He said, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Please notice something there. That there are seven stars, and they represent the angels or the messengers or the leaders. Some will tell you the pastors or the heads of the seven churches. Or let me say, whoever is appointed as a strategic person, the person in charge, all right? I don't believe, well, the interpretation I've heard is that the angels there don't refer to, you know, people out there, because the letters were to go to the angels. You understand what I'm saying? So there were people that were going to read it. He said, now, then the lampstands, he said, they are the seven churches. Now, if you read through, you will see, I just want to read one of the messages he sent to one of the churches, to the church of Ephesus as an example. He said in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or the works you did before, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Please, I have read this one to bring out an issue. We'll come back to it later. So you can just use something to mark it in your own Bible, but we'll come back to it later. Now, go back to the book of Luke chapter 8, where we're reading. Now, you know what we're talking about, of course, is profiting from the word of God. That the word of God is to profit us. Paul said to Timothy, he said, give yourself wholly to these things, that your profiting may be made known to all. That is, what God expects is that if you focus on his word, your profit, the things that will come out of your life, will be observable by people. People will be able to see it and know that something has been added to you. The word of God profits people. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Yes, that is, he adds something to you. He doesn't leave you the way he met you. Please get that point very, very clear. God doesn't give you, in fact, the Bible says that godliness is profitable. Having promise for the life that now is, and then the life that is to come. That godliness doesn't have promise only in the life that is to come, but it has a promise for the life that now is. The word of God indeed is meant to profit us. Now, but there's something we are to do if we are going to experience the profit that is in the word of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, reading from the book of Luke, Jesus was teaching us the parable of the sower, which is a principle upon which the word works. Now, before we continue that, I want to read something quickly. Open to the book of Mark chapter 4. Now, it says the same thing. It's in the same spirit that Jesus was speaking here, because this is a continuation of discussion of that thing in the book of Mark chapter 4. But what I want to bring out is from Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He said, he himself does not know how. In verse 28, he says, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Now, he has a responsibility in verse 29. But when the grain ripens, I like King James there, it's so beautiful. He said, when the crop permits, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. He said, when the crop permits, I like that King James expression, or when the crop has become mature, all right? But I'm reading the New King James this evening, and it says, but when the grain ripens or has become ready, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. But please, you notice something. My emphasis there is in verse 27, in which he says that the man scatters seed in verse 26, and 27, he goes to sleep by night and rise by day. Amplify says he does this continually. All right? He does this all the time. And then the earth produces by itself. He said the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. In 28, he says, what happened was that the earth was producing by itself without asking this man to do anything special, more than cast that seed upon the soil. Now, what I'm bringing out here is this, that the word of God profits us, and it does its profiting automatically. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, we don't really have to do something outwardly, all right, physically now, to make the world produce. Every work we have to do has to do with sowing the seed on the correct soil. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the word that it will produce is automatic. It's not dependent on any other thing more than the fact that we sow that seed on the correct soil. Do you follow what I'm saying? You know, in previous times, I've heard people explain what they mean by the works that go with faith. As if you are believing God, best example, for, let me say first, I'll use two examples for prosperity. You are believing that God will bless you financially. You now get up and say, if I'm believing it, then I must go out and do something that will produce a lot of money for me so that my faith might cooperate with my works. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's not what the Bible is saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? David didn't have to do anything outwardly before he was elevated from being a shepherd boy to becoming a king. Do you follow what I'm saying? Joseph didn't have to do anything outwardly for him to leave the position, I mean, towards the goal. That's what I'm saying. What he was doing outwardly was a natural flow of events. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Let me explain what I'm saying. For example, let us assume now I teach in a secondary school, all right, in modern-day Nigeria. And then I hear the word of prosperity. That the Bible says that, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Now, naturally, let's assume, I'm a teacher. On Monday, what should I do? I should go to school. I should teach. On Tuesday, I should go to school. I should teach. Now, bear in mind, these were the very things I was doing for the last 4 years. So, you see, I've not done anything strikingly different towards the new word I claim to be believing now. Do you follow what I'm saying? What have I done? I have just continued the natural order that is acceptable or that is righteous under the circumstances that I am in. Do you follow what I mean? If I'm a student, next Monday I get up, what do? I go to school. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying by that is that, you see, I have not done anything outwardly to pursue the goal of the word I have believed. People say that, no, if you are believing, that you must be doing something towards that. No, that's what I'm saying. No, you don't have to. The second example I was going to give is to make you laugh a bit. Let's assume that I said, this year is my year of marriage. Assume I'm a single man, all right? Now, okay, that I'm a woman. Yeah, that's better. That's better. All right, that's easier to use as an illustration. What am I going to do towards making 2009 my year of marriage? Should I tell you? Absolutely nothing. Let me tell you something about righteous living, all right? Whatever I know is right, I should do it, even if I'm not expecting any reward from it. Do you follow my point? People say, okay, now, you're expecting to be married. Look very nice. Listen, my friend, if those who are not expecting to marry, should they look very stupid? Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, everybody should look nice all the time. It's a good thing. Even Jesus said those who are fasting, they should make sure they look nice. Even though they are not expecting anything in that direction. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it's not as if, okay, if you're expecting that this year, make sure you look appealing to the brothers. Listen, my friend, that doesn't change anything. I don't know what you're getting on what I say. That is, I'm saying that the word works by itself. It does not require my trying to do something outward to help it. Because when God indeed wants to do something in my life, what he's going to do, oftentimes, I really can't do anything about it. What I mean is that, take Joseph as an example. If he had to believe God for anything, he would believe God for release and he would want to go back home. And then even if somebody were to show him a clear vision, before he had a vague dream, even if somebody were to show him a clear vision, all right, of what it will be, that is, he will become the Pharaoh in Egypt, what will he do to become the Pharaoh? He's in prison. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that's what the Bible is telling us in that Luke chapter 4, in Mark chapter 4, that the earth by itself produces, that the word by itself produces, that the fact that I have not decided that, look, this my teaching job is not the passport to prosperity, and I now decided to resign it and go and look for something else, The fact that I have not done that does not mean I am not believing that word of prosperity. Because what you are actually doing, when you start taking those outward steps a lot of times, is that you are plotting your own path of fulfillment. And this interesting part, you can never know how God intends to bless you. You can't. I said something last on Saturday when we were talking about our gifts, that you are supposed to prove faithful in what you are doing. But there's no proof that that is what God wants to use to bless you. Because the mistake, that's why, you know, even in medicine, we have those days, I don't know about now, but those days we used to have what they call rare fields. There were fields that you couldn't find specialists in. They were difficult to find. The reason was very simple. It was the fact that most graduating students thought that there was no money to be made there. Therefore, do you understand what I mean? They all avoided it. Everybody wanted to be a gynecologist, a surgeon, because they felt that that was where you could make money. And indeed, they had proof for it. Surgeons can charge you anything they like. Once they put a knife on your skin, you want to pay. But if a physician talks to you, or you go somewhere and the pathologist is supposed to run a test on you, you don't understand why he's charging you so much. After all, they do tests in one lab down the road for only 25 naira. In Nigeria then, they now they call rare fields. To find a pathologist was so difficult. It's not because the course was more difficult than the other ones, internal medicine, surgery, or gynecology that everybody was doing. It was just because most people wouldn't go in that direction because, do you understand? Most people wouldn't go in that direction because they felt that there was no money to be made there. But let me say something. When you want to discuss with people, be very careful. Number one, Bible says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. What it means is that don't let unbelievers tell you how life is supposed to be. Do you understand my point? Listen, let me tell you something quickly. Listen to this as a child of God. When you want to believe God for something, believe God for whatever you want. No matter how crazy, tell God, please, I want 3 airplanes. I want them. Personal property. That's what you want. Fine, go ahead. And don't at all imagine that it will come from that thing you are doing then. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? Because what I mean is that you can't tell. It might not. But that, this is one thing you should notice. Without faithfulness in that which you are doing then, forget it. If he said teach primary school, nursery school children, oh boy, towards the manifestation of the 3 airplanes you are believing God for, better teach them. I don't know whether you get one. Listen, those nursery school children won't buy you nothing. Their parents won't pay you anything. Or they might, I don't know. But this is what makes you a believer. The Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. That is, we understand, this is what makes us believers, that what will bring us results, all right, cannot be explained by physical manifestations. That is, I am standing, teaching nursery school children, and yet I'm believing God for 3 airplanes. Maybe I want to be a commercial airline operator. And somebody said, how can that happen where you are? Better resign from here. Leave Enugu. Go to Lagos. Go to Port Harcourt. That's where the action is. Do you follow what I mean? That's what I'm trying to explain. That when the Bible says that the word produces by itself it produces. It does not need you, all right, to outwardly try to make it happen. He said, okay, so how is it going to happen? I'll tell you 2 things. Number one, I don't know. I don't care, really. I just know it's going to happen. But number two, let me tell you the second thing. I haven't understood the fact that I don't know, I don't care. But one thing I do know is that a man that is blessed is a lucky man. Did you hear what I said? If you heard this, say amen. No, we said it before. That the person that is blessed, we call the person what? Lucky. In fact, the good example I use is not a Christian book, but I don't know how many of you ever read the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. That book has a lot of interesting stories. The only thing about Christians, you should be very careful. Don't follow every path that appears like it leads to riches. A lot of them collapse eventually. Do you understand my point? But learn some lessons. There are good lessons in it. There was one lesson I learned when I read the book. The man taught principles of how to invest money, save money, and make your money make money for you. Very nice principles. And he was called by the ruler. All right? The king told him to come and teach men because he appeared to know. Do you understand the point? Okay. And why did they assume that he knew? Because he had money. That was how everybody thought that he should know. But the interesting part was that, did he make his money by obeying those rules? Read the story very well. No. Go and check it. If you remember, what happened to him was that he wanted to be rich. There was a very rich man that came to him for some work when he was working as a clerk. And he asked the man, please teach me how this thing is done. And the man began to instruct him. And the man liked him because his own natural sons, who were born into a rich family, were not trying to learn anything. They were only interested in eating money. So when the man proved that he had learned over the years, what did the man do? When the man was going to die, before he died, he talked to the man. Let me not jump ahead of the story. One day the old wealthy man came to him and said, you have done very well following the lessons that I taught you. I have a vast estate. My sons are no good. They are no good children. They are just interested in spending money. So what are we going to do? He said, please, I want to employ you. Come and run my estate for me. That was why he left where he was working. Because he had proven to that man that he could do what the man was saying. The man now called him and made him lord of his estate. And when the man died, in his will, he left most of his inheritance to the young man. The young man taught us principles, all right, on how to multiply your money, but that was not how he made his own. Most people don't notice that. Do you understand? Well, the day time I read it, I already had a lot of spiritual understanding, so I easily picked those things out of it. Now, how did he become rich? Because a man who made money long before that left money for him. But why did the man leave money for him? Because he has shown to the man that he knew how to handle it. Cut the long story short. How did he become rich? He was lucky. Do you follow my point? It was in quotes. You know, the way we describe our own luck now, it's a matter of in quotes. It was lucky. But then the kind of luck he had was not for loafers and layabouts. It was a kind of luck that man's children who left him an estate for an inheritance, all right, they couldn't have. But he, because he followed the man diligently. Remember our parables, Luke chapter 19. When Jesus talked about the Lord who left money, do business with this until I come. The man who multiplied his money 10 times, what happened to him? They made him lord over 10 cities. So if maybe one day he's giving lecture, how do you become the lord of 10 cities? How is he going to say? He said, make sure one ruler appoints you. But how do you make sure he appoints you? Simple. There's nothing you can do. Because when they gave him the money, he did not know that's where they were going. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, the word works by itself. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize in all of these things. That the word works by itself. It does not need us. All right? In fact, we can't. Not as if it doesn't need us. Anyone you try to do, it is a matter of arm or flesh. And it will fail you. So what does God say? Listen, I will give you an assignment. I will discuss that on Saturday. You prove faithful in it. When I want to manifest, I manifest at my own time. I've said this to people several times. It's very easy for you to want to be like Ron Kenoly. But go and hear Ron Kenoly's story. Let's assume you're a musician. You want to become well known like Ron Kenoly. But go and listen to his story. He tried also and nobody listened to him. So finally he said, all right, I give up. He now settled down as a music pastor of a church. You know, what we in Nigeria we call the choir director. Or, you know, that kind of thing. And that's the job he was doing until one day, Domwen walked into the service and heard him lead praise. And said, my God, this guy is phenomenal. And he called him and said, please, excuse me. I'm so-and-so-and-so, executive director, Hosanna Music. Do you mind praying about recording an album with us? He didn't know who Domwen was personally. The man had to introduce himself to him. But when he said, please, pray about it, Ron Kennedy said, that was one thing I didn't have to pray about. I had an answer for him there on the spot. And then he did Jesus Is Alive. That was the first album. He did, well, I didn't know of Jesus Is Alive. I mean, I've heard it here and there. But they now did Lift Him Up. After Lift Him Up, Jesus Is Alive began to sell. Are you getting the point I'm making? And now became the Ron Kennedy that everybody wants to listen to Ron Kennedy. Everybody wants to talk to Ron Kennedy. So if somebody starts studying the life of Ron Kennedy, one part of it you can never force. You can't force Domwen to come to your church. Or he might come to your church and the day that is in a bad mood and he's not listening to anybody. Do you understand the point? Yeah, no, you can't force him. You can't force him to come to your church. That's what we try to do sometimes when we want to copy people. You understand? You're scheming. This scheming can never work. Let me tell you something in life. Eh? And you better learn this thing early. There's a prayer you must pray. Say, God, bless me or I die. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. That is, just say like that, God, what I mean is this. If you don't bless me, I'm ready to just die here. That is, I'm not going to try anything. I learned that lesson immediately after my youth service, 1993. I came down to Lagos because I served in the Nigerian Army and they were owing me some allowances. So when I went to our brigade headquarters in Yola, the people there said that the only people that could solve it was the headquarters in Lagos. All right, so I went to defense headquarters. I came in Lagos. But anyway, that was how God arranged for me to arrive in Lagos because I hated Lagos with a passion. I disliked that city. I disliked Lagos. So God said, okay, I will take you there by force. Do you understand? But this is the point I'm making. When I got there, it was my first exposure to, you know, people really, how do I say, spending money, doing big business. Get to my point. The money we used to work for in a whole month, no, not a whole month, those who did three jobs, the money they would gather in 1 month, before my eyes, people used double of that to buy a pair of shoes. I don't know whether you heard me rightly. I was a medical doctor, all right? Just finished. If you get a simple, good job, 5,000, but there's a way we could wangle your way and work three shifts in three different places. That is, you know, this kind of recipe for dying early, all right? Uh-huh. If you've made up your mind, you don't want to live long, you don't believe in anything more than what your arm can produce, you do it, and people used to do it, all right? At the end of the day, you couldn't gross, that was end of 93, into early 94, you couldn't gross more than 15,000 naira a month. And before my eyes, I saw people buy shoes for 25,000, for 50,000, a pair of shoes. Shoes. You don't get what I'm saying? Shoes. I just looked. That was when I saw. I said, God, bless me or I die. That is like, I'm not going to fight anybody. He said, this is what is making money. I said, yeah, I beg. Leave me alone. Oh, you are getting 5,000 naira. I said, I'll manage it. I will manage it. If God will not make me soar with wings like an eagle, I'm not going anywhere. Start chasing, running against horses. And you start trusting the Egyptians who the Bible says they are just men. I said, no. God, if you won't bless me, forget it. The only thing I used to tell him, I said, just don't give me a wife. That's all I'm begging you for. I don't want a wife. I don't want children. If you won't bless me, let me suffer alone. It's simple if you're alone. You suffer your suffering properly. There's no food. Forget it. You go and pray. Give God thanks. Say, you're not going out today. Say, I'm praying. Stay at home. The truth is that you don't have food. So, but I said, God, the only thing, just don't give me a wife. Don't give me children. I don't want a family. It will not be a problem. You'll not be worried that you have to pay school fees. Just let me suffer myself. I will preach your gospel. No, it's not the fight. I'm not the quarrel. I'm not quarreling with you. John the Baptist, my life, I don't mind. Just don't give me a wife. I will go out into the wilderness, eat locusts and wild honey, and shout, repent, I don't mind. Because I saw people suffering, struggling, running hard. And I saw people were flying. So I said, God, the transition between walking and flying, human beings can't make that one by themselves. You have to do it. So what I will do is that I will wait until my change comes. Do you get my point? Look, and that's what I've been teaching. Look, listen, just be faithful. Listen, that's what life is about. No matter what it is that's placed in your hand, just be faithful. Don't worry about any other thing. People don't understand when you say somebody is blessed. A blessed person is a lucky person. Are you getting my point? That one day, luck will just jam you. Say, that guy is very lucky. Yes, you were created to be lucky. And that's the thing about God's blessing. You can't plot it out. How will you convince Pharaoh to lock important men up with you if your name is Joseph? Even if you manage to convince him, how do you persuade those men to dream? Can you create famine? Can you make Pharaoh dream? You can't do any of those things. Did David need to know who Samuel was? Say, Samuel, I said, I am right here, right now. I'm calling you comfort. Anoint me as king. No. David was a small boy. Literal small boy. So small that it was Aaron that used to send him up and down. Hey, you, come. Go and see your brothers. Yet one day Samuel appeared at his doorsteps. Are you getting the point I'm making? Why am I explaining all of these things? He said the earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full crop in the ear. And when the crop is ready, are you getting me? When the crop is what? ready. He puts in the sickle because the harvest has come.